We're going to be talking this morning for a few minutes about God's promises. And it don't seem to me that that word promise is as valuable a word in our society as it used to be. That used to be a real valuable word to us. Now, as it applies to God, nothing's changed. But I think that it has, when it comes to man. We notice that in our society today that promises don't mean as much as they used to. And I don't know what's happened in our society that's caused this, but it's changed just in my lifetime. I guarantee you that it's changed just in my lifetime. I can remember as a young man that farmers would make a deal with a tenant. Gary, you can remember that just as well as I can. And it was on nothing more than a handshake. It wasn't anything written down. They could shake hands on it, and you'd make a deal for the next year, and each party would promise, and their word was good. I can't remember very few times that anything ever went really awry in that relationship. He goes a whole lot deeper than that. As a preacher, I performed quite a few wedding ceremonies. And in those wedding ceremonies, there's the vows. Me and you, most of you in this audience today that are older, you said your vows some years ago. And a vow is nothing more than a promise. And 50% of our population today in the United States of America, I don't know what it is the rest of the world, but in the United States of America, 50% of us don't keep a promise. We don't honor our vows anymore. And nobody seems to think anything of it. When we stand before God, the preacher, the family, and everything, and say, I promise, or I make this vow, it doesn't seem to have a value. It doesn't mean much. And further than that, this is a big political year, this campaign year. And all of us see promises that candidates make, I promise I'm going to do this, and I promise I'm... When did you ever believe a candidate when he said, I promise I'm going to do something? That's just like going in one ear and coming out the other anymore. Nobody believes it. And just because somebody said, I promise I'm going to do that, we become skeptics. We're skeptical about whether somebody's going to keep their promise or not. I think it permeates on down into society. How refreshing that it ought to be to each one of us as Christians today that when God promises something, He doesn't renege. God never goes back on His word. When God promises something, you can write it down, it's going to be there. And so I took a few points from this. I've got a lot of different scriptures. I'm not going to give all of them to you this morning. Most of them you're going to be familiar with anyway, but I want to use a few of them this morning because promises ought to mean something to us. I always think about one of the most famous promises that I know from recent years. Any of you seen the movie Lonesome Dove? And you know what that movie, best movie ever made. Wasn't right. Best movie ever made. Best book is ever wrote. Based on the best book. Nevertheless, the promise that I remember in that, and it just seems outrageous to most people, is that when Gus was dying, he said, I got a promise, call this promise that I want you to make me. I want you to take me back to Texas to bury me. He's in Montana, Mount City, Montana. And he acted like it wasn't a big deal. 2,500 miles away, and on the way to get there was either walking or riding a horse or so forth. And he promised him that he'd do it. And there was all kinds of obstacles in his way. People trying to convince him, oh, you don't have to honor that. You don't have to honor that promise. But the story that I took away from it was that he was such a man of his word that he honored that promise. And he took him all over much of him left. He packed him in salt, if I remember right. He got back to Texas with him and he buried him in the very swamp. And I promise you, people look at that now and they say, well, I don't even know how they can make a movie that sick. People wouldn't feel obligated I'm gonna give you one personal, this personal one. My granddaddy Miller, buried right down here in this graveyard. He died in 1987. And just a little while before he died, he knew he was gonna pass away. He's 91 years old. And he said, now when I die, he said, I'm having you put in charge of putting a death date on my tombstone. I really didn't want that responsibility. But he gave it to me anyway. And he said, what I want you to do, he said, within 1 week after I die, I want you to have that death date cut on my tombstone. And I said, Granddad, why would that be such a big deal? Why? He said, there's people out buried out here in this graveyard, been dead for years and years, and everybody go back and put their death date on there. And he said, I want mine on there. And I said, well, I'll promise that I'll see that it gets on there, but not a week. He said, I want you to promise that it'll be done in a week. Well, you know, I could have pacified him. I could have said, well, if you're dead, you ain't going to know the difference no way. I could have said that. And I didn't want to make that promise. But he just insisted. In other words, Brian, you remember, it was just arm twisting. But that's what we did. And I promised. And he died in February, and it comes snow. And it was roads fast and rising. Snow all over the place, and I thought, how in the world am I going to get this done? And so I kept in contact with the funeral home, not funeral home, but the people that you know who I'm talking about, that provided that, to be honest. And they said, well, we can't get up there. It's ice all over here. And I said, yeah, but I made a promise. I promised that I did this. And the man that I talked to in charge, he said, well, we'll get it done, but it ain't gonna make it in a week. I said, you got to, but I promise. I made a promise. And you know, on the seventh day, they came out here in the snow and they drove their sandblasting equipment across the cemetery. We had to put on this just at the last minute. And I felt relieved because I kept a promise. And knowing Granddad, he'd come back and haunt me if I didn't. But I kept my promise. And I said, I'm never again going to get roped into this. You know, Carl said it about the dust. He said, it made me more careful about what I promised the next time. And I've been careful about my promises. I'm going to be able to keep my promise. Now, what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes is that God promises, he follows through. Nothing's going to happen. Nobody's going to talk him out of it. Nothing in society is going to deter him. Nothing's going to sway him. God is going to fulfill his promise. Don't make any difference what man does, but God is going to fulfill his promises. First one I put up here is God promises his attention. Well, that's one of the things that we're definitely in a deficit on in our society today is people's. You can't hardly get people's attention. It reminds me of the story about the man that barred the mule. You've heard that story about the man that barred the mule. And he told him, he said, you can take this mule and plow your tobacco with him, and you can work with him and everything, but first you've got to get his attention. And he didn't know what he meant, and he got him home, the mule wouldn't do nothing. So he goes back and he said, I don't know how to get his attention. The man reached down, got a 2x4 and hit him over the head with it, and said, now you got his attention. And you know, it's hard to get people's attention nowadays. Preachers talking with each other, they'll tell you that usually in an audience, about 20, 25 minutes is what your attention span normally is. But we always have God's attention. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, we're fixing to start that in our Sunday school class shortly. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What did he say? Exceeding great promises. Great promises. Not just any promise like maybe we would make to each other, but God's promise is exceeding great. We have to know the promises. We think about promises that God has made through his people throughout the ages. God told Noah in the 8th chapter of Genesis concerning the flood,
He said that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Nobody has to tell you that God has kept His promise. All of these things that God said would continue, that would go on, and regardless of what man thought or man predicted or prophesied, all these things have continued just like God said that they would. He told Paul in Acts chapter 27 that if they were long as they remained in the ship, nobody would be lost. They was in a terrible hurricane. He said nobody would be lost. Paul said, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as He told me." Paul had confidence that God would keep His promise. God said nobody would be lost, and the record shows that nobody was lost because they followed what God told them to do through Elijah. During the worst, one of the worst famines recorded in the Bible, Elijah prophesied that the oil would last until the famine was over. Cooking oil, olive oil, in a little small cruse that belonged to a widow. He said, just keep pouring, it's not going to run out. Long as the famine lasts, the oil lasts. All you have to do is go back to the record and you'll see that God kept His promise. It didn't run out. Now, other people's ran out. And the famine lasted 3.5 years, but God kept His promise to Elisha. He said, "About this same time tomorrow, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel." Nobody believed it. It was during a famine. That was when that a donkey's head was bringing 80 pieces of silver. A donkey's head was bringing 80 pieces of silver. And yet, God said, tomorrow, food products are going to be practically worthless. People looked at each other and they said, "You got to be crazy. And that's never going to happen." 24 hours later, they saw it happen. God kept His promise. It was exactly. People just laughed at that time. They said, "What's God going to do? Make a little window in heaven, reach His arm down and do that?" Just laughed about it. But it came true because God made a promise. God promises attention. In Proverbs chapter 15, the Bible says that He hears the prayers of the righteous. God promises us that if we will pray to Him, that He'll hear us. Now this is to the righteous. He doesn't promise that He'll hear it from the world or from sinners. But for those that are righteous, God promises that He will hear our prayers. How often our faith is so small that we don't think God's listening. But He promises that He will, and God has never reneged on His promise. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." That's a promise that He made. And certainly we know that God follows up on His promises. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, He said, "Come boldly unto the throne. Obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." God promises that He'll help. We go to God in a time of need and God promises that He'll help. We have God's attention. "Whosoever shall ask shall receive of Him, because we do His commandments and do these things that are pleasing unto Him." That's a promise that God made. Not to everybody, but to those that love Him and those that obey Him. God promises His attention. God promises, and when God promises His blessings. Not just His attention. It's not hard to get God's attention. It's hard to get each other's attention, but we can get God's attention, and He promises that we'll give it. God gives us His blessings. "God will withhold no good thing from those that walk uprightly." Not to everybody. Now, there's places in the world today where people are not living uprightly and people that are doing things that are not upright, that are not enjoying God's blessings as much as they would like to be. But here, this scripture in Psalms chapter 84 and verse 11 says that He will withhold no good thing from those that walk uprightly. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, "He causes man to give to you abundantly." It's not only God that will give to you, but God will cause man that we do for each other. And we do that abundantly. And so God gives to us His great blessings. Paul told the Galatians, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, he said, "Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not." See, he's speaking about the blessings that God does for us. "God shall supply all your needs according to the riches of the glory of Jesus Christ." He promises not only His attention, but He promises His blessings. And within those blessings, we find that He has prepared for us a crown of righteousness to all those that love His appearing. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. When God promises, He follows through with His promise. You never have to doubt that God's going to withhold it or that God's going to back out. Point number 3, when God promises His love, He gives you His love. John chapter 3 and verse 16, one that we're all so familiar with. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That's how much that He loved the world. John chapter 16 and verse 27, "God loves us because we love Jesus, and that God sent Him." Through whom do we have these blessings? Through whom do we have this love? Through His Son. And so the world says, "Well, what if you're not a Christian? What if you do not participate in that love of the Son? What if you're Muslim? What if you're Jewish? What if you're atheist? What if you're something else?" The promise that God has given us in His love is through His Son, and only through His Son. We are called to God's love through our obedience. He laid down His life for us. 1 John chapter 4, in verse 8, the Bible says God is love. He doesn't just promise His love, but God is love Himself. Keep yourself in the love of God. Jude 21. When God promises not only His attentions, His blessings, His love, but God promises us His protection. I wonder how often or how little that we speak or think about God's protection. David remarked in Psalms chapter 121 verse 4, "He that keeps Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber." God's always on the job. Day and night, God watches over us. We have His protection. God doesn't sleep when we're asleep. One of the things that all of us who have been in the military learned, that we have not only a responsibility to ourselves, but we've got a responsibility to our fellow soldiers. One of the things that we learned, I recall being at Fort Gordon, Georgia, back many years ago, and we were in a training group, and I recall that our company commander addressed the company that late that afternoon, and he said, "Each of you that are sharing a tent together, two of you, one of you stay awake while the other sleeps. Because sometime during the night, there's going to be an enemy raid." Of course, this was all simulated, but it was as if it was real. "So don't either one of you go to sleep at the same time. One of you stay awake while the other sleeps." Well, I had quite a difficulty even getting to sleep to start with that night. Sometime during the night, I woke up and my buddy was asleep. I didn't rat on him. I didn't turn him in, but I woke him up pretty good. And I couldn't sleep the rest of the night, even though he's awake. We don't have to worry about God going to sleep. David said that God never sleeps when His protection is over us. So we do have God's protection. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "All things work together for good to them that love the Lord." We have God's protection, God's guarantee. We have God's promise that He will remember us. Point number 5 on the screen. The older I get, the more trouble that I have remembering. You have any problem with that? If you do, you're probably getting in my category a little bit. I see people, and my wife sees people from time to time, and I say, "Who was that?" And I recognize the face, but for the life of me, I can't put a name to go with it at all. I see that every once in a while. I can't remember who that person was. The other day we was looking through the obituaries and we ran upon a name in the obituaries of somebody that worked at Holly, and I couldn't put a face to it. So I got problems on both ends. Sometimes I can see the face and can't put a name with it. Sometimes I know the name and I can't put a face with it. But you don't have to worry about God remembering. Can you imagine us standing before God on judgment day and God said, I don't know who you are. I don't remember you. You don't have to worry about that with God. God's going to remember us. He'll know who we are and what we did. Now Jesus said, if we don't remember God while we're here on this earth, that God will say to us on judgment day, depart from me, I never knew you. I never did know who you was. It's not that I don't just remember you, I never did know who you were to start with. For those that don't know God. But God has promised his children that he will remember them. Whosoever confesses him before men, he will he confess before the Father. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50. Whosoever does the will of the Father, the same is my brother, my sister, or my mother. That's how well that God knows us, and that's how well that he will remember us. And then finally, and last of all, God promises us his strength. Oh, how much in this generation that we need the strength of God. David said, the Lord is the strength of my life. In other words, without God's strength, he would have no life. The Lord will give his strength to his people. Now, it's not that God is still giving his strength to Israel or to those under the law of Moses, but his people are those that do his will, according to the New Testament. My friends, that's you and me. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean upon your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 tells us that the Lord renews our strength. It's not that we renew it. It's not that we have any ability or capacity to renew our own strength. But God renews it for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is no temptation that is common unto man, but God will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. We can write it down because it is a promise from God. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. These are just a few of the things that I jotted down that I thought would be useful. I know that it's certainly useful to me, and I hope it's useful to you. When God promises, you can write it down because he will follow through with his promise. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Christ, we sing this invitation song as a special invitation to you that you might become a part of God's kingdom while we stand.